Shalom, this is Larry Mitchell. I am so glad to be with you here at the Schoenfeller Mennonite Church. Well, at least in spirit, if not in body. And I'm going to start the introduction of Psalm 24. If I were going to give a title to Psalm 24, I would call it, Who is this King of Glory? Psalm 24 is apocalyptic. What I mean by that is Psalm 24 is speaking about the last days. It is actually speaking of the return of the King when Jesus comes back to set up the thousand-year kingdom, the Messianic age. Although Psalm 24 blesses every reader who reads it in every age or every dispensation, it will be especially beneficial and relevant to the saints who are living during the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. The battle for the Temple Mount began in the Garden of Eden. Modern-day Jerusalem was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. Why do I say that? Well, Genesis chapter 2, 10 to 14, gives the boundaries of the Garden of Eden. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bedlam and the Oxstone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. Cush is the ancient name for the land of Ethiopia. What river goes through the whole land of Ethiopia? It's called the Nile. The name of the third is Hiddekel, which is an ancient name for Tigris. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. Now, when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, the timing was hundreds of years after the flood. And during the flood, the geography of the world changed greatly. And so he's describing these four rivers, but he's using the present day locations, or at least the present day location when Moses wrote this, to give the reader some indication of where the Garden of Eden was. I put a little photograph, a little clip or picture here of the Garden of Eden. And what I've done is I've highlighted that garden in yellow. We don't know where the north and the south sides of the Garden of Eden were. Those are not described. All we have described is the east and the west boundaries. To the west, we have the Nile. To the east, we have the Tigris and Euphrates River. It's not a little market garden. It's a huge, huge chunk of land. And if you look on that picture and you know where Jerusalem is located on that map, you will see that Jerusalem was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. Now Lucifer, or Satan, the anointed cherub, was described as walking up and down God's holy mountain in the Garden of Eden. The Bible identifies God's holy mountain as Mount Zion, the future dwelling place of King Messiah. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, you, speaking of Satan or Lucifer, were in Eden, the garden of God. And Ezekiel 28:14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. So Lucifer's in Eden, and he's walking up and down God's holy mountain. Well, the Old Testament identifies God's holy mountain as Mount Zion, which is located in the modern city of Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:3, thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now Lucifer, before the fall of Adam and Eve, told God that he had a desire to sit on the temple mount as God. We read about that in Isaiah 14:12-14. How you were fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice that Lucifer, in the Garden of Eden, declares, boasts, brags, that someday he's going to sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. Now one might wonder, how did Lucifer know where God's holy mountain, the sides of the north, was to be located? It would appear that God had revealed to Satan that this was going to be the eventual location of where he would set up his temple and where his son, the Messiah, would someday rule from Jerusalem. How do we know that this is talking about Jerusalem? Psalm 74, verse 2 says, remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. The Mount of the Congregation here in Psalm 74 is identified as Mount Zion, the midst of Jerusalem. And Psalm 48, verse 2, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Here there can be no doubt that Zion is the side of the north. And so Lucifer has a dream that someday he will sit on the sides of the north, Mount Zion. Mount Zion has a long history in the Bible. If Mount Zion was God's holy mountain, and if Mount Zion was in the midst of the Garden of Eden, I believe it was the location where Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And that belief is shared by Orthodox Jews. In his article, Early History of the Temple Mount by Lambert Dolphin, he writes this. On Mount Moriah, the present-day Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the exposed bedrock under the Dome of the Rock is known as the Foundation Stone, in Hebrew even Hashetia. Although Jewish temples were later built on the same foundation stone or extension of the same bedrock Elsewhere on Mount Moriah, the term foundation stone refers to the creation of earth by God on the first day. And it was called the foundation stone because the world was founded on it. For Isaiah the prophet said, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation for a stone, a costly cornerstone of sure foundation." Isaiah 28, verse 16. Well, we know from the New Testament that that precious foundation stone is a reference to the Messiah. But here the Jewish people indicate their belief that this is where the fall of man occurred. And it's interesting, Orthodox Jews say it was here on Mount Moriah where Adam and Eve fell, and it's here on Mount Moriah where the redemption must take place. It was also on Mount Moriah where Abraham offered up Isaac. In Genesis 22, verse 2, "Then he said, take now thy son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Mount Moriah is another name for Mount Zion. So Abraham offers up his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Later on, Mount Moriah would become the place where Solomon built the first temple. It was also the place where King Herod built the second temple. Mount Moriah is also the location of Golgotha, the place of the skull, where Jesus the Messiah was crucified. And finally, Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, will be the place where the Jewish people will begin rebuilding that third temple. Satan will attempt to fulfill his dream to sit as God on God's holy mountain inside the third temple during the tribulation period. He will do that at the midpoint of the tribulation period, an event that is described as the abomination of desolation. The Apostle Paul spoke of that in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-4. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it were from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped. So he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The Bible does prophesy that the third temple will be rebuilt and standing during the tribulation period. Interesting, the Bible identifies the tribulation temple as God's temple. We just read 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-4. And in verse 4 it says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sits as God," where? "In the temple of God." This is not Lucifer's temple. This is not Satan's temple. This is not the Antichrist temple. This is God's temple. In Revelation 11, verse 1, "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and an angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar and those who worship there. So in Revelation 11, verse 1, God claims that temple, the tribulation temple, as his own. So the tribulation temple will be the temple of God, and Lucifer, through his false messiah, the Antichrist, will attempt to sit in God's temple as God. Now, the primary purpose, I believe, of Psalm 24 is a warning issued to tribulation saints not to be fooled by Satan's counterfeit Messiah when he sits in God's temple. The Antichrist, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-4, is called the man of sin. And as a man of sin, he is not qualified to sit in God's temple. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of God? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. The man of sin will not be qualified to sit in God's third temple. The Antichrist does not have clean hands. The Antichrist does not have a pure heart. And then Psalm 24 goes on to further clarify the identity of the real Messiah by declaring, when the real Messiah comes, he's going to march through the sealed Eastern Gate. You know, Psalm 24, 7 and 8 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. You know, Suleiman the Magnificent was the longest reigning sultan in the Ottoman Empire. He decided to seal the Eastern Gate. He sealed the Eastern Gate to prevent the Messiah from coming through. And that gate remains sealed to this day. He also built a cemetery in front of the Eastern Gate, realizing that the Jewish Messiah is a priest. And a priest cannot march through the Eastern or through a graveyard without himself becoming defiled and being disqualified as being the Messianic high priest. And so Suleiman the Magnificent sealed the Eastern Gate, put a graveyard in front, hoping that this will prevent Jesus from returning. But you know, it's not going to stop the Messiah. In fact, Ezekiel speaks of the coming of the Messiah. Ezekiel 43, 1-2 speaks of the Lord coming through the Eastern Gate. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. The Messiah is coming through that Eastern Gate, according to Ezekiel 43. And the Messiah is identified as the Lord, the God of Israel. And after the Messiah comes through that gate will be sealed. All during the millennial kingdom, the gate will be sealed once again. Ezekiel 44, 1 and 2. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, and was shut. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut, It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. Now Psalm 24 verse 1 is spoken to tribulation saints, informing the saints that although Satan actually does rule as the God with a small g of this world, he is not the God, capital G, of the universe. Now, God created man to have dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Adam and Eve were created to have dominion over the earth. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they abdicated their kingship. It was transferred to Lucifer, to Satan. And the Bible identifies Lucifer as the God of this world. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, 8 and 9, it says, "Again the devil took Jesus up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" Satan could have only given Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he in fact had controlled them at that time. So here, beginning in Psalm 24, God reminds the tribulation saints, don't be fooled by the God of this world. Even when the false Messiah sits as God in the third temple, remember, Psalm 24, 1, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein."